To have Paul Taylor with us, who's coming to minister God's word, and Claire as well. It's always blessed to see you both. And I know he's going to really minister and fuel what God is doing here about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So, welcome, Paul. Let's give him a warm welcome, church.
Good morning, everyone. Well, it's always great to be here, Judith. It's lovely coming here. We left Bude this morning at the sunny hour of 8 o'clock. And as we were coming up, we were saying, well, it's a great day today, you know, sun's shining. Got to the Somerset border and it was cloudy. But anyway, we brought some of that sunshine in this morning. It's going to get brighter today. We've had a busy few weeks recently, lots of things happening, family coming up and lots of work to do and stuff in ministry as well. And, you know, yesterday down in Bude, there was a marathon run. And so we had this marathon run. I tell you, it was grueling. 27 miles uphill and down, you know, it was along the coast paths from Clovelly, if any of you know where Clovelly is, all the way down to Bude. I said, I don't know how I made it. Really, completely. Anyway, our son came down, and he actually did the marathon run yesterday. I think he did it in about 5 hours, and we think he came in third on this marathon. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. So he did really, really well. So we were full of congratulations for him yesterday. And it was great to be with you. And, you know, while we were worshipping the Lord this morning, one of the things I was think about was, you know, at Christmas time when we have the presents that are opened, and maybe for some of you today, you know, the good news of the gospel is like a present. It is a present of Jesus when he came to this earth. We heard about it at the beginning of the meeting, and you'll hear about it right the way through, is that he died on the cross and rose again from the dead. Basically, he came to give us his life. It was a life exchange, and if we would turn to him and be forgiven, ask him to forgive us and cleanse us and turn around to him and be washed clean and give our lives to him, he will give his life to us. It's an exchange. And for some of you today, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, this is what your life is all about. And it's to receive this present from God in the person of Jesus Christ, and actually to believe upon him, to turn to him and ask him to come into your life and receive him. It's the greatest gift for eternity. And it guarantees a great life here on earth while we come to know him, but it also is to do with our future as well, where we go when we die, that he wants us to be saved and to be with him forever. So if you haven't never received Jesus, this will be a great day to do it. He died on that cross. You know, there's more proof about Jesus today than Julius Caesar and all the people that we read about in history. There's more proof about Jesus than anyone. And the fact that he died on the cross, but he also rose again from the dead. There's just so many facts and figures about it. And we even have our calendars. You know, everything is based upon the fact that it's after he rose again from the dead. And but, you know, to know Jesus personally is the most wonderful thing. And I remember as a 10-and-a-half-year-old, on a day similar today, giving my life to him and realizing that my life would no longer be mine. That was the understanding I had, a simple boy-like understanding that from this day forward, my life would not belong to me. But I handed my life over to God, actually handed it over to Jesus, and invited him to come into my life. And that day, everything changed. Everything. I felt clean. I felt something. I knew something had happened as I asked him to forgive me, the wrongs, the things I'd done wrong. But as I handed my life over to him, and I began to cry, and I was a very happy boy, but at this day I was crying because I realized he died for me on that cross. And he died for every single one of us, didn't he? But he rose again from the dead. And this gift of Jesus Christ is the most precious, most wonderful gift that we can possibly have. And I just urge you, if you don't know Jesus, please, please, please hand your life over to him. It's the most unfair exchange. It's the greatest. It's not even a bargain. It's a free, pure gift that he gives to us, where he gives us everything that he is, and he deposits it into our lives, and we become literally a new person. And we live in a partnership with God living on the inside of us. I don't know about you, but every night I go to bed, he's there. When I wake up in the morning, he's there. When I wake up in the middle of the night, he's there. He's there through my day and through my night. He's there 24/7. And this is this precious gift that God gives to us. He gives us His Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us. So we're not following a religious Jesus. We're following a living Jesus, aren't we? Now, my theme for today, well, let's have a look up on the screen. This will give you a clue. Now, I actually said to, I said to Sandra, I want to talk about this subject. Boldness. Now, there's a bold man. And I want to talk this morning about boldness. And actually, this guy, Donald Trump, he is very bold. You have to agree. You may not agree with everything he does, but God is using him. And we'll continue to use him as long as we keep praying. Boldness. And I want to talk a little bit today about boldness, the importance of boldness. And I know that God is doing great things here amongst you. And turn it off just for a minute. That's putting people off. Just turn it off just for a few minutes. Turn to your Bibles, Hebrews 4, verse 16. We're going to look at a few scriptures about boldness, and then I want to get to the main point, really. God wants you this morning to be bold. God wants you this morning to be bold. Just say bold. No. Bold. Bold. He wants us to be a people who are bold. And this isn't a proudful boldness. This is a boldness that comes from God. It's very, very different. And it says in Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." This is when we come before God in prayer. "Come boldly to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy." We need plenty of that. "And find grace to help us in our time of need." That's a description of me every day, actually. Coming boldly to the throne of God, the throne of grace, so I can obtain mercy. That's God actually not giving me what I deserve. And grace is giving me what I don't deserve. This is the way it works. God wants us to come to Him boldly so we can receive from Him mercy and grace. Firstly for ourselves, but then also so that we can give it away to others. Does that make sense? Boldly. He wants us to come boldly. Second scripture, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. It says this, "Therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." This scripture is telling us to have boldness to enter before God. So when I get up and pray, or when I lie down and pray, or when I'm sitting and praying, whatever position you and I may be in, God wants us to have boldness. It's there for us to have boldness before God. And we come because of the blood of Jesus that was poured out for us on the cross and has redeemed us to Him, not just cleansed us now, but the blood of Jesus is our victory that makes us very, very bold. Bold before God as children of God, as sons of God. So God wants you, when you come to pray, to come with boldness, not arrogance, boldness, and a confidence that you're actually meeting with Him and that He hears our prayers and He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to save people. He wants to set them free in the same freedom that we've experienced ourselves. This is our God. And so having boldness by the blood, we can come before Him and really have our hearts purified. And you know, I've discovered that the more time I come like this, the bolder I get. Have you discovered that? The bolder we get. So we're talking, first of all, that boldness is something that God wants to impart to us on the inside of us, in the spirit, in our spirit. And this is what I call internal boldness. Okay, this boldness comes by meeting with God, by prayer, by reading the Word of God and spending time with Him. But it comes from God and it develops us, it develops our spirit to begin to do things for God and with God. Okay, are you with me? So I'll give you an example. This morning, as we got up, just before we came out, where we live, part of next to our house, there's a holiday let, which is part of the same building. It's like a separate barn type building. And the couple that own this holiday let, they come down now and again. And fortunately, it's good because they're down for a couple of weeks. And we're going to meet up with them this coming week. And I've shared the gospel with, his name is Mark, I've shared the gospel with him, and he's quite open. And I believe that, God has got them ready at this point, at this time, to really have an opportunity to receive Jesus, him and his wife. And so I've shared that. Now, as I was going out, putting some rubbish out this morning, I noticed that he was sitting, as I walked past, that we've got a wall between us. As I walked past this wall, I noticed he was sitting there with some shades on, enjoying the beautiful sunshine, okay, reading his paper and having a cup of coffee. But he didn't look quite right. But anyway, so I walked backwards and forwards a few times, and on my third and final walk, I said, "Morning, Mark, how are you doing?" And he looked up, and he got up from his seat, and he looked like he was in a lot of pain. And he came over to the wall, and he said, "Well, actually, I've got really bad pain in my back. I'm struggling. I have arthritis in my back, at the bottom of my back, which I didn't know about." And we just had a chat over the wall. And you know what the Holy Spirit said? Pray for him. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't do it immediately. I should have done. I didn't do it immediately. I gave him a good newspaper. "Here, Mark, take one of my papers," which he's done before. It has good news in it about Jesus and up-to-date reports. And the next thing I found myself, I leapt over his wall. I leapt over his wall, climbed up over his wall, over the other side, and I was in there. Because the Holy Spirit said, "I want to heal him." And I'm discovering that with boldness, don't think, obey. Okay, don't think, obey. Obey God. Too often, we do things and we give time to think about it. It's very dangerous. Because then you get in the way of what God wants to do. And I've lost count the number of times when I've done that. But fortunately, those times are getting less. And I'm finding myself in a position where I've jumped over the wall now, so I might as well just do the rest. And I said to him, "Mark," I said, "would you just let me pray for you?" And he said, "Yeah, by all means." And I put my hand just on his top of his shoulder, in the middle of his back, in the name of Jesus. "I command this arthritis to leave your body. Father, I thank you, hear my prayer." I just, my eyes open, I just said, "Thank you, Jesus, just heal him right now." I just kept my hand there and thanked him for healing. And then I said, "See what God does." And off we went. Okay, so we're going to catch up on Wednesday or Thursday. The point of me telling you that is I believe absolutely that Jesus has heard my prayer and he's healed him. And God's going to use this as a sign and a wonder of that, the fact that Jesus is alive today. Boldness. Are you getting the message this morning? God wants you to be bold. So we're now talking about external boldness. This is the boldness that comes out of us. And we're going to find out why God wants to make us bold. So let's have the next slide up. And you'll know this scripture. Oh, sorry, let's just talk about boldness. Boldness, I looked this up in the dictionary, is a willingness to take risks, to act innovatively. It's a confidence and a courage. This is what boldness is. This is the boldness that God gives to us. But it's more than that, actually. It's the spirit of boldness is being like God. It's God-like. It's like Jesus. And if you describe Jesus, Jesus was humble. Jesus was full of meekness. But he was very bold. And I don't know about you, but I want to be more like Jesus. And so here it is. The spirit of boldness displaces the spirit of fear. The spirit of boldness displaces the spirit of fear. But we've got to surrender our will to God, to the Holy Spirit, in these moments when we have to witness to others about Jesus. And if you don't, your fear will take the thing from you. But if we allow the Spirit of God to lead us in the boldness, we'll step out into something and God will move powerfully as we obey him. So the spirit of boldness is the Holy Spirit. That's his presence, the person of the Spirit living on the inside of us. When we obey him, it displaces the spirit of fear. It's not that we don't have fear knocking on our door. I'll be honest, most times I go out, there's a fear that comes at me. But I kick it away in the name of Jesus and decide I'm going to obey God. And then the fear goes. So it's a lie from Satan. It's a lie. Fear is a lie from the devil. And people are full of fear. The world we're living in, people are full of fear. People are afraid of dying because they don't really know what's going to happen to them. But we're filled with the spirit of boldness. And we must tell people about Jesus, that God wants us to know where we're going. And that there's a hell, there's a heaven, there's a real places for eternity. And Jesus died to save us from going there so that we can be with him forever, reign with him forever. So this spirit of boldness is vital if we're going to follow this momentum of what God is doing. We have to have this spirit of boldness and become more like Jesus. So let's have the next slide. Hallelujah. What's this say? You shall receive... Just say power. No, say it powerfully. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and Taunton, and Bude, and all over the place, to the ends of the earth. This is God's promise. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we know that the early church, they prayed, they waited, they surrendered, they let God deal with them, and then he sent his power upon them, but it didn't stay in a room. It didn't stay in the upper room. Sometimes we stay too long in the upper room when we should be out. We need to come back to that place, but we need to come in and we need to go out as well. And so we need to receive this power. And again, something that we need to do daily is, God, please just fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit. I need it today. I need your power so I can witness for you. You know, when we pray like that, that God will give us a fresh anointing, a fresh empowering of the Holy Spirit that we need in our workplace. Yeah? That we need at the school gate. That we need with our community, with our next door neighbours, and when we're on a trip somewhere, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is the one that gives us this boldness. It's the power comes with the boldness comes with the power, which is really His love being poured out upon us. This is what happened with the early church. It was wonderful. And let's have the next slide, Lydia. Thank you. Acts chapter 2. Let's just go to Acts chapter 2 and read there. We're going to find some things here that are important. Verse 36, Acts chapter 2. We know what happened, that the Holy Spirit literally fell on this group of 120 people in an upper room somewhere in Jerusalem. Claire and I, we went to Israel some years ago and went to Jerusalem. We don't know whether it was definitely the upper room, but we went into a upper room and it was quite small. And they said it'll be something like this where the Holy Spirit fell. It was kind of would have been really tight. And we know that in that room, the Holy Spirit came and filled all these new believers in Jesus with the Holy Spirit and filled them with this incredible boldness. And it says here, 36, it says, Peter then begins to preach about Jesus and he says, let the whole house of Israel know that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And he preaches the good news about Jesus. And he says, basically says, you need to repent, you need to turn to him, you need to be forgiven of your sins, you need to be baptized. He's basically becoming real bold now. And he says, believe in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and to your children and to your those who are far off. That's us, by the way. And what happened was that day, 3,000 people met with Jesus. They received this living Jesus Christ into their lives, and their lives were forever changed. Why? Because Peter and the apostles and these early Christians, they were filled with the power of boldness. They were very bold. They weren't full of themselves. They were actually full of Jesus when they spoke. So we understand here that that Peter preached the word boldly. So boldness is given to you and given to me so we can speak his word. Are you with me? To speak his word. Boldness is given to us to put into words the truth in a way that the person you're speaking to will understand it, and it will be at their level, if I can put it that way. So, you know, you don't talk to someone who is who has loads and loads of money in the way that you talk to someone who's perhaps on the streets. The way you speak to them, the truth will remain the same, but the way you speak to them will be different. And I try to be all things to all men. That's so let the Holy Spirit help us to communicate with people at different levels in their life, in their culture, in their work. This is the way that Jesus operated. So he understood where people were at and then spoke to them in that way. And God wants us to be the same. So the boldness is given to us so we can speak God's word, God's truth, in a way that it'll be understood. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. We prayed in his name this morning. There's such power in his name. And we know that this man that it talks about in Acts chapter 3, verse 6 and verse 16, talks about faith in his name. That through faith in the name of Jesus Christ, that the faith that came through Jesus and from him that healed this man that was lame when Peter took him by the hands, actually, and it says strength immediately came into his ankles and he began to stand up and leap and danced and shouted out his healing. Oh, and we've seen that happen to people. We've seen people healed in a dramatic way, and the first thing they do is they tell others. Now, why do they do that? Because the boldness that was upon Peter and John enabled them to have this faith boldness that released the power that's in the name of Jesus for a miracle. God wants you and me to be doing the same things. Amen? This is what he wants us to do. Let's have the next slide. And when we come to Acts chapter 4, and this is what I really want to focus on this morning, it says in Acts 4 verse 8 that Peter was filled with what? The Holy Spirit. He wasn't filled with fear. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, because we know the Holy Spirit displaces fear. And so we need to constantly open our hearts and our minds and our faith up for God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to live off yesterday's blessing. Do you? I want to live off what God wants to give me today, to do today's ministry, the stuff he wants me to do today. So that's why every day God has something fresh for you to receive from the Holy Spirit. He wants our relationship to be fresh and revitalized and revived. But he wants it to be every day, so that we've always got something fresh from God to give to one another, to encourage one another, but also so that we've got something fresh to give to people that don't know Jesus yet. And this is what his goal is for us in our lives. So it says here that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it talks in verse, if you look at verse 13, it talks there about the boldness of Peter and John. Let's just read that, shall we? When they saw, listen to this, that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. These were fishermen. These were very ordinary. These were working class guys. But there was something about them that was different. And whether you're well educated or uneducated or somewhere in the middle, it doesn't matter. God loves us all. But he wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it happened that Peter and John, they perceived they were uneducated, ordinary men, untrained, but they saw boldness. Just say, saw boldness. Saw boldness. It means that boldness is something that can be seen. Boldness is something that is visible. God wants boldness to be seen in your life that will reveal Jesus, actually. It's about revealing Jesus. Boldness is all about revealing Jesus Christ to people. I want to tell you a story. This recently happened to us just a few weeks ago. We'd gone to look at a vehicle, to buy a vehicle, and we went to this particular garage. And the man that owned the garage was actually on duties that day, so he was doing all the big, you know, sales stuff. Had lots to say for himself, but after we got through the sales thing and we decided exactly what we wanted to do, and we talked to him, we then got into a different kind of a conversation, and I felt the Holy Spirit begin to nudge me. You know when you get those nudges? This conversation is going to go somewhere. Stand by. And so what happened was, as I sat down at his desk, and we had this conversation going across the desk, he begins to tell me about his life. Oh, this is really interesting. So I listened to him for quite a long while. Listened to him tell me about his life. He called himself a Catholic, actually. That meant he was brought up in a Catholic home. He doesn't go to a Catholic church or anything like that. But that's what that was his label. And he says, to be honest, Paul, he said, I've had such a rough last couple of years. I lost my dad. I lost my partner. I'm not sure what I believe, to be honest, anymore. And I brought up as a Catholic. I'm not sure what the name of God is, really. Is it Jesus? Is it Allah? You know, I'm not sure what his name is. And I said to him, Reese, I said, his name is definitely Jesus. And I felt this boldness begin to come. And I said, he's done everything for me. He's taken care of my life. And we can go through real stuff in difficult things in life. But with Jesus Christ, he's actually come to live in me, Reese. He's living in me. I received him, you know, some years ago. Gave my life to him. And he's alive today. And basically, just over a few minutes, he began to share the love of Jesus with him, and something caught hold of him. And then he begins to tell me about his shoulder. He said, I've got this problem with my right shoulder. He said, I'm constant pain, constantly taking painkillers for it. I've got to have an operation on this shoulder. You can actually, you know, you can feel it grinding, and and it gives me a lot of pain. And I said to him, do you know, Rhys? I said, Jesus can heal that. This Jesus I'm talking can heal that. I committed myself. I stepped out. I had an opportune moment. I had a thought that came to me, don't do it because nothing will happen. That was the devil. Then I had my own thoughts, supposing nothing happens. And then I had the God thought, I will heal him, right? All those things that go through in our minds that are trying to hinder us, fear can displace boldness. But boldness, the spirit of boldness, the spirit of God will displace fear. And right there, I experienced it in his showroom office. And I said to him, Rhys, would you let me pray for you? And I'll tell you, he didn't let me pray for him right there and then in his office. But I said, he didn't let me do it. But I said, I'm going to pray for you anyway. And I said, because God wants to heal you and prove to you that he's alive. And he wants you to know him. So here we are. We move up a week. A week later, he brings this vehicle to our house. Drives it to our house. Meets some of the grandchildren. And loves all of that. And then just before he goes, I said, Rhys, tapped him on the elbow. I said, I'd like to pray for you, for your shoulder. And he was really, really open. He was away from his office and on the business of phone and stuff. And he said, all right. He said, let's see what you can do. So I said, okay. So I put my hand on his right shoulder and I said, in the name of Jesus, I pray for you. Shoulder, be healed right now. And the Lord said, keep your hand on his shoulder. So I prayed. I declared, in the name of Jesus, be healed. I command this problem in your shoulder to be gone. I command it to go, and I command healing power to flow right in it right now. And I said to him, Jesus is healing you. For about a minute, and I took my hand off. And he got in. This is what he did. He went, expecting there to be pain. He goes, he was trying to find the pain. Then he put my hand on his shoulder again. Can you feel that? He said, can you feel that? To be honest, I couldn't feel anything at all. He said, that's just weird. He said, I'm not saying I'm healed. I said, well, you are. You are healed. He said, that is amazing. I said, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. And off he went. Now, I've seen him briefly twice. I said, I need to talk to you. I said, I need to talk to you some more as well. He said, I'm not saying I'm healed, but there's nothing there. I said, he's healed you. Jesus is the healer. His name is Jesus. I told you that in the office. So here's this man who has a Catholic background, never really met with Jesus, has believed about God in a general sense, has known a religious side to his life, but God is waiting for him now to surrender his life to him. And so I'm praying a lot for Rhys. We're praying for him. We're praying that he'll come to know Jesus Christ and hand his life over. You imagine, this man, he's a businessman. He has a lot of money. It's not just about the money, but he has a lot of contacts. He's got gifts on his life that God wants to use. And you imagine this man getting saved, the difference it will make to all of the guys that work for him, in the work. It's amazing. So I know God's got his hand on him. And so boldness is given to us to speak the word of God and to act. So the boldness is given us to speak and to act. Okay? That's why the spirit of boldness is given to us. It's to speak the word of God and to act upon it as God leads us and directs us. And then the Holy Spirit will reveal who Jesus Christ is. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Hallelujah. Boldness. They saw the boldness of Peter and John. There's another man. I've been doing some lecture work. He's got a holiday chalet just outside of Bude. He's got four of them. And I've been wiring up one of his chalets. He's a very fussy customer, so I've had to be patient with him. Keeps changing his mind about stuff. And he also is very extrovert, so he does a lot of talking. Now, I find with extroverts, let them talk. Just let them talk. Listen to them. Be patient. Because at some point, they're going to stop. And when they stop, then we've got our opportunity, because we've listened to them. They've got to listen to us now. And so his name is Elliot. And so with Elliot, I love the guy. There's something really nice about him, good about him, but he's not saved. He doesn't know Jesus yet. And so on the second day I was working there, I noticed on the first day, every other word was a beep and a bop and a beep and a up. But when he starts using the name of Jesus, that really kind of, I just agitates me, you know. But I didn't say anything. And the third time he did it, on the second day, he goes, oh, I didn't say anything. he said, oh, I shouldn't have said that, really. You probably don't like that, do you? I said, no, I don't, actually. Because I know him. Boldness. And then that lunchtime, I had a great opportunity just to share with him how I received Jesus into my life, how I knew what it was to be forgiven, and how that right through my life, I've seen him do miracles and healings, but I've come to know him and know his love. And I was saying, Elliot, this is for you too. And so another opportunity, another man that I'm praying for to be saved, and his wife too, that they'd be saved. Let's look at Acts 4, verse 29 to 30. 29 to 30. It says here, and this is what the church are praying. Peter and John got locked up, didn't they, for a night or so? I think it was for one night. And they were forbidden. You mustn't do this. And their response boldly was, well, you have to be the judge of whether we're going to listen to you or listen to God. But we're actually going to do what God tells us to do. That was the boldness that they had. And when they got released, they went back because the church was praying for them. And then they had this incredible prayer meeting. And I often think, I wonder what that prayer meeting must have been like. It must have been full of the Holy Spirit. And it says they raised their voice, united with one voice. So they must have really been praying out to God. And then somebody probably led a prayer at the end of this and put it all in, all to kind of almost summarize it all up. But this is part of their prayer. And it says here in verse 29, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness, not baldness, with all boldness, they may speak your word. So if you haven't got the message yet, boldness, the spirit of boldness, the Holy Spirit gives boldness to us so that we can speak God's word into people's lives. All right? Not just read the Bible to them. I mean, it's great to read that. I love reading the Bible and I love reading the scriptures to people, but it's not just about this. It's speaking the right words at the right time to people at that moment. And so their prayer was, Lord, grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand, whoa, something else now, stretching out your hand, Lord, to heal. So when I laid my hand on Rhys, I knew it wasn't my hand that was going to heal him. I knew God's hand wanted to heal him. And so your hand becomes an extension of God's hand. You're working under the hand of God. And his hand gets on your hand and the Spirit of God flows through your hand and brings healing to people. God's word flows through your spirit, through your voice, and speaks into people's lives. This is the boldness that God has for us. And it is to speak his word and stretching out God's hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Wow, boldness, boldness. Are you getting this? And God wants both of these things. I know that these things happen in the church, but all I can tell you is God just wants to do more of it. God just wants to do more of it. And you know, we're part of a church in Bude. We absolutely believe in the local church, so we're there just to serve God and to serve the pastor and the leaders there and just do whatever as God directs us. And we're beginning to see some things happen. We've got a little ways to go, but that's all right. We're in Cornwall, and things take a little bit longer there. So, but we're getting there. And do you know the reason God told us to go to Cornwall? I know the reason. He was very, very clear that we were to go there because there's a move of God where we're going to see hundreds and thousands of people saved right across the region. Not because of us, but because of what God, the Holy Spirit, is actually doing. And he's prepared people. People are praying. People have been praying for donkey's years. Donkey's years, that's, you know, many years. They've been praying for many, many years in small groups and larger groups. But I saw all this, the answers to prayer hit in heaven, and God saying, I'm about to move, get ready. That's why I'm sending you down there, so that you can be a part of what I'm about to do, because there's a lot of people about to be saved. So that's what we're preparing for. But we need boldness. The church in Cornwall needs boldness. It's lost its way. Most of the church have lost their way. They've lost what it really means to know Jesus and know the Holy Spirit and his power and be led by him. And so he wants to bring us into this new move of the Spirit of God, where we can be bold in the things of God and do the things of God, so we can speak his word and God can stretch out his hand and we'll be on the end of his hand. So it's about partnering with the Holy Spirit. It's a partnership. It's working with the Holy Spirit. It's not us doing our own thing, but working with the Holy Spirit and working with the boldness that he gives to us. And then verse 31, I love this. This is a great answer to prayer, an immediate answer. And it says, after they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? They spoke the word of God with boldness. That was the whole church. And I don't know what happened, but we know somewhere around here it says there were 5,000 now. 5,000 men. It actually says 5,000 men. I read it carefully. It said 5,000 men. So if it literally means men, that means there was an awful lot of women as well and children. So God began to move very, very powerfully when the spirit of boldness came. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. And then if you go on, it says, now the multitude of those who believed this, verse 32, were of one heart, very important, one soul, were united. Neither did anyone say any of his things was his own, but they shared together. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Listen to this. And great grace was upon them all. Great grace. And I believe God wants to bring the church into this season of great grace. Whenever you read about great grace, it means God's going to do great things. Whenever you read about great grace, it means God wants to release his power. Great grace equals boldness. Really. Great grace means boldness will come. And this boldness will release God's word, the truth about who he is and what he wants to do in people's lives. And it will release his power that will be healings and signs and wonders. The whole thing. Hallelujah. You know, the other week, it's about a month ago now, I had one of these. This is just a tool. It's great paper, actually. For giving to unsaved people. And good news. And so I went into this block of flats. It's a hostel. It's probably one of the worst places in Bude, to be honest. There's three of them. I've only done one building yet. It's a big building. There's about probably around 30 rooms there, bed sets. And there are all kinds of people live in these places. But God told me to go there. And so I start tapping on the doors and give them a big smile at the door. And I'll be honest with you. When I walk into this building, I feel this intimidation. Fear. And you feel that sometimes. I feel that sometimes when I go out in certain places. And in fact, when we moved to Bude, I thought Bude is going to be easy. It's such a beautiful place. And it is. It's a beautiful place. But when I got there, in the spirit, I felt, when I started going out on the streets and talking to people, I felt this intimidation. I thought, oh, this is interesting. I didn't get that in Crawley. We broke that in Crawley over many years of prayer. It was kind of a greater openness. But imbued with the friendly, warm, sunny town, I felt this intimidation. And it felt like the devil was saying, the enemy was saying, don't you dare preach this gospel here. And so guess what that did in me? Right. And so we are. And there's a goal. We're going to reach every home in this town for Jesus. We're going to visit every home with the gospel. Not in a harsh way, but in a very loving way. I've already started on all the businesses. So I go into every shop, every business in the town centres, about 130 businesses. And I deliver one of these papers. And where I can, I'll have conversations with people who work in these shops. And God's doing the beginnings of a work. It really is. It's quite amazing. And, but anyway, we'll go back to that. But coming back to the hostel. So I went into the first half of this hostel and had four or five responses. People came to the door. Some people don't. Some are asleep or on drugs or whatever. But gave four. And then I went next door. And as I walked through the door of the second half of this building, this lady followed me in. And she said, what are you doing here? Like this. And I said, oh, hi there. I said, I'm just delivering some good newspapers. She said, oh, no, no one wants that. You better clear off. Like this. Like she owned the place. So I said, oh, right, okay. I said, well, actually, just so you know, I said, some people next door, I deliver this paper quite regularly. Some people next door actually wanted the paper, and obviously you don't. But that's okay, I said, but there are some people probably here that would like it. No, they won't, she said, and off she, upstairs, on the middle floor, slammed the door. Ooh, right. Felt this intimidation again. So I prayed. I went home and I prayed. And God said to me, go back. So the next day, I went back, and I went right up to the top floor. There was another floor above. I went to the top floor, tapped on the first door, and the guy came to the door. He was on drugs or something. He was a bit spaced out, but he took a paper, and I said to him, I said, good to see you. I said, do take this. It's a great read. When you have a moment, read it, and I'll come back and I'll see you. And he said, thanks very much, thank you, and closed the door. Went to the next door, there's only two doors there, went to the next door. Guy, I heard the dog came first, okay? Boldness, right? Boldness. Big dog came, it was one of those husky dogs. And then a big bloke came to the door as well, yeah? At the door, says, hi there. I said, I've come to give you a good newspaper. It's a free issue, comes out every month. I deliver it round here in Bude. I'd love you to have one. Is it religious? I said, no, it's not religious. It is about God and about how you can know him. No, I'm an atheist, he says. Now, this is what boldness does. Boldness will give you the right words. Because I could have just gone and said, okay, that's fine, no problem. And to be honest, sometimes I do say that. That's the right thing to say. But this man, I felt something from God. And I said, do you know something? What's your name? And he says, it's Nathan. I said, oh, I'm Paul. And we shook hands. And I said, Nathan, I said, I want you to know this, that maybe you don't believe in God, but God believes in you. That's all I said. God believes in you, Nathan. I looked him in the eyes. And do you know what he said? It's like I saw a penny drop. He went, ching. And he looked at me and he goes, good in you, mate. And did a fisty, what's it? What do you call it? Huh? Fist pump, yeah. One of those. Good in you, mate. So I held my fist out. Good in you, mate. And do you know, I then said to him, how long have you been here? He said, I've been here for 3 years. That's a long time in a hostel. They don't usually stay that long. 3 years. And he began to tell me about, he basically told me his story. So I listened to him. And when he finished, I said to him, Nathan, let me just tell you something. That God has a plan for your life. And he believes in you. And he wants to make himself real to you. And he said to me, after I spoke to him for about 5 minutes, he said, I will take your paper. He took the paper. Why? Because of boldness to speak God's word. And he told me that the reason he was there was because he had an accident, so he couldn't no longer work. He's done some serious damage with his back. He'll never be able to work again, the doctors say. So I said to him, Jesus that I'm talking about wants to heal you, Nathan. Would you let me pray for you? He didn't. See, not everyone wants to receive. So I said, that's okay. I'm going to pray for you anyway. And I'm on that journey at the moment where we will get there. God will get there because God's plan is to heal him, demonstrate his love and power. But he said to me, just as I left, he said, do come back again. That was his last, do come back again. Yeah, praise God. So that was around about 3 to 4 weeks ago. So these are opportunities, obviously personal opportunities. But you know, you have personal opportunities that God gives to you, and no doubt he's given you. But the spirit of boldness is the answer. The spirit of boldness. God wants to fill us with such boldness. I wrote down here, when I looked up the Greek for boldness, it means confidence. And it means outspokenness. Actually, it means that. Outspokenness. Confidence. How about some more confidence? See, I need confidence. And I don't have confidence in myself. It's not a good place to find it, really. Because we get into pride and, yeah, terrible, yeah. Bad things happen when you get confident in yourself. But if we put our confidence in God and in Jesus, who's come to live inside of us, then we'll find that God's will shall be done. And God wants to fill us with this confidence and dare I say, outspokenness. Outspokenness. So in Bude, I've noticed that we went to it last year, that they have a lot of the churches do a get-together, which is brilliant, and they call it a family fun day. And I think most of the churches in Bude actually are part of this, but I noticed last year it was great, it was okay, but there was something was missing. And so I spoke to this lovely older man who's in one of the Anglican churches there. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, so he loves Jesus. And I had him around for a coffee at our house, and we chatted, and I listened to different things that they were doing. He said to me, why don't you do something? So he invited me. I said, oh, I'd love to. I'd love to do something. He said, what would you like to do? I said, well, I'd love to just talk to people like I normally do, and maybe use the microphone, because you have a microphone, don't you? I said, just to talk a little bit about why we're there. I said, because I noticed last year that there was a few things announced, but there was no, it would be good just to use the microphone. Use the airwaves, I said. He said, well, that's a good idea. To talk about Jesus, to talk about why we're doing it, and to offer prayer for people who are sick and healing. And again, so the spirit of boldness, and this man, quite a timid man, lovely man, but he said, yeah, that would be great. We're going to have a meeting. I think it's going to be this next Wednesday, which I need to make sure I go to. So the idea of this meeting is to discuss what we're going to do. And I've been invited to go to this meeting. So God is on the move. And my prayer is that God, release the spirit of boldness on your people. What a great event in the middle of Bude, where all the holidaymakers come at the end of June, in July, I think it is. And loads of people there, and people from the town centre. Everything is free. Absolutely everything is free. But a great opportunity for the gospel. But if we come with the spirit of boldness, it will make all the difference. Rather than just running a function that blesses the community. We don't want to bless the community. We don't want to just bless the community. We want the community to know that Jesus Christ is alive, that he's real. He wants to change their lives. He wants to help them. He's the answer to their lack. He's the answer to their needs. And it'll come through the spirit of boldness. Hallelujah. Have you got the message? Are you feeling a little bit bold? When they prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with all boldness. And I want us just to respond just at the end of this time, if we can. If you just stand where you are. Just begin to thank God this morning that he's here with the Holy Spirit and that he wants to fill you afresh with boldness. So just begin to take confidence in God this morning that he loves you. He wants you, if you don't know him, he wants you to know him. That's the first thing. You'll never get bold unless you know Jesus. But when you know Jesus, he actually changes us, completely changes us to become like him. It takes away fear and troubles and strife and all of that stuff that has damaged our lives. He took it on the cross 2,000 years ago. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, let me just tell you, you can know him this morning. You can ask him to come. He's alive today. He rose from the dead. He proved he was alive over 40 days. They saw him. He spent time with them. And he went back. Then he went back to heaven. And he sent his Holy Spirit to come, his Spirit to come and live on the inside of us. He wants you to receive him today. But for the rest of us, let's lift our hands this morning. Lift our hands. Lift our hands. Fathers, we surrender to you this morning. Everybody, let's surrender our lives afresh to him. God is doing something here in this church. God is on the move here. God is moving by his Spirit. And the more room we give to the Holy Spirit, the more he will come and take over, take control and lead us, and he will flow through our lives. So as we lift our hands before you, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we ask you to come and touch every life this morning. Lord, put your hand upon every head of every person here today, Lord. Come and fill them afresh with boldness, Lord. Come and fill them afresh with your confidence, Lord. Come and fill them afresh with your power and with your love today, Father. Lord, come and do what only you can do, what you do best, Lord. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, we pray this morning. Father, just we surrender ourselves afresh to you, Lord. Fill us up again, Lord. Fill us with boldness so we can speak your word, so that we can do what you want us to do, so we can heal the sick. So we can release signs and wonders, powerful things that will follow, Lord, the things that we speak about you, Lord. Father, that when we go, you go with us. Father, we just receive from you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for your Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Are you receiving from him this morning? Now, this receiving of the Spirit, you really need to give time for the Holy Spirit. It says that we're to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We spend time so we can receive from him in our own time with God, so that every day we go out full of the Spirit. So that we're in those situations where we're not quite sure what to do, we've already been filled with the Spirit. We've started our day right. We've got something charged up on. We've got our tank is full. We're not living on empty. We're living on fullness. And we can give out from that tank. We've got somewhere to motor today. So we can tell this person about Jesus. We can lay hands on the sick. We've got power in the tank. Okay, so Father, I just pray, Lord, that for your people here today, just encourage them to go for some more, Lord. That they be filled up with the Spirit of God every day, Lord, charged with you, Lord, so that the Word of God can be spoken, boldness can come, Lord, signs and wonders can be done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.